Good morning, Fairfield Church. If we haven't met before, as already mentioned, my name is Scott. I'm a third-year Master of Divinity student in the distance program at Calvin Theological Seminary and a pastoral intern at Liberty Center City and Mainline, where I serve with the homeless ministries and the worship ministries, and I bring you greetings from that congregation. As you turn to Colossians 2, our scripture this morning, for those of you with pew Bibles, it's page 1169. I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of the fathers here. And hope you have a wonderful day. For those of you who may have lost a father or have strained relationships with a father, you're in all of our prayers this morning, and I pray you experience the love of God the Father where you most need to feel it today. So with that, we're going to read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in Him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith and the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please just take a minute to silently reflect on this passage and ask God what it is He wants to say to you this morning. Guide us, O God, by Your word and Spirit, that in Your light we may see light, in Your truth find freedom, and in Your will discover Your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I am a huge fan of the band U2. I actually saw them Thursday night at Wells Fargo Center. And one of my favorite albums by them is their classic 1987 album, The Joshua Tree, that has hit songs like Where the Streets Have No Name, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, With or Without You. One of the iconic songs on that album that doesn't get a ton of radio airplay is the fourth song, Bullet the Blue Sky. That features a famous spoken word bridge that the band recreates many times over the years playing it live. And back in 2015, during their Innocence and Experience tour, they rewrote this spoken word bridge once again. So over the sound of Larry Mullen Jr.'s heavy drum beat, Adam Clayton's thunderous bass riff, and the sound of guitarist The Edge putting a war through his amplifier, lead singer Bono begins to speak. So this boy comes up to me, his face red like a rose on a thorn bush, like all the colors of a royal flush, a young man with a young man's blush. And this boy, well, this boy, he looked a whole lot like me. The boy looked just like me. And he stuck his face into my face and he asked me, "Have you forgotten who you are? Have you forgotten where you come from? You're Irish, but here you are all smiling and making out with the powerful as if you're really there for the powerless. Have you forgotten who you are?" Paul might not be writing to the Irish this morning, but it seems the Colossians need to hear the same question. Epaphras, the pastor in Colossae, and Philemon, the church's host, both good friends of Paul, have talked to the apostle about this new church community they have the privilege to lead. And Paul is excited about what God is doing in this young church. But he also has a concern. There are those outside of the church, putting pressure on the congregation to turn to other ways of living because, well, Jesus certainly can't be enough. And while they have not caved in, Paul picks up his pen to write to them. He wants this small church to grow up in the love of Jesus so that they can endure the pressure they are facing. Now, no one agrees on exactly what the pressure is against the Colossian church. Paul doesn't waste his breath explaining it to us or to them. Yet throughout the letter, Paul is clear. Do not let anyone force you to let go of Jesus and grab on to anything else. And it would seem that Paul is especially concerned with a Jewish community in the city of Colossae. He spends his time in the letter saying explicitly or implicitly things like, don't let anyone tell you that you aren't the people of God. Don't let anyone tell you to keep some days holy and others not, like the Sabbath. Don't let anyone tell you you have to be circumcised. Don't let anyone tell you what you can and can't eat. And don't let anyone make you cling to Torah, the law, rather than to Jesus. And here Paul is describing very Jewish things, the same things the Jews believed marked them off as the people of God against everyone else. And it seems they're telling the Colossian Christians, this Jesus you talk about is all well and good, but we live in the real world. We live in a world of gods and evil powers and an oppressive Roman government that has it out for us. This Jesus is nice, but if you want to belong to the true God, there are some things you are going to have to do. If you want to survive out here, you need to circumcise yourselves. You need to watch what you eat and make sure it's strictly kosher. You need to keep the holy days and definitely never skip Sabbath. Stick to the law and be one of us. Otherwise, we can't promise you won't fall to the demons around us. So while no one this morning is trying to convince us to turn to Judaism, we have all heard similar things before. We've heard them in various pulpits and on television sets. We've listened to sermons before this one, and we have heard pastors, not Pastor Mike, tell us things like, we live in the real world. There are wicked Hollywood producers and corrupt politicians out there fighting for your soul. If you want to survive out here, if you want to belong to the true God, there are some things you're going to have to do. There are some right things you have to believe and other things you definitely cannot believe. You need to watch where you get your information. Make sure it's strictly 100% from the Bible, because all those other pastors, scientists, teachers, professors, counselors, family, friends, they're all, every one of them, trying to deceive you. Be praying every minute of every day and definitely never skip church. Strictly obey the Ten Commandments, and you'd better do these things if you want God's love. It's the only way to survive out here. And all these things are well and good, but I don't know about you, but I'm tired. And the church isn't the only thing with a long list of demands. When we flip on the television set, we hear commercials say things like, this is a dog-eat-dog world out here, filled with the pressures of work, the responsibilities of school, the demands of our families, and the expectations of our neighbors. If you want to survive out here, there are some things you're going to have to do. You'd better find the right relationship to keep you from being miserable. You need to watch what you eat and get on a diet program. You need to join the best gym. You need to get the newest iPhone to keep up with the times. And definitely don't skip the great vacation spots. C.S. Lewis provides, I think, a comical portrait that many of us can identify with, even if we wouldn't all admit it. In the last Narnia book, The Last Battle, the friends of Narnia make one last effort to return to their beloved land. Instead, they find themselves in a fatal train accident and wake up in Aslan's country, their new home forever. But their friends in Aslan's country ask them where their sister Susan is. Her cousin Eustace replies, whenever you've tried to get her to come and talk about Narnia or do anything about Narnia, she says, what wonderful memories you have. Fancy you're still thinking about all of those games we used to play when we were children. His friend Jill then says, oh, Susan, She's interested in nothing nowadays except nylons and lipsticks and invitations. She always was a jolly sight too keen on being grown up. And many of us chuckle, at least I do. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think we're more like Susan than Eustace or Jill. Our memories are short. Our baptisms were long ago. The promises of the commercials, demands of churches, they're all far more immediate. And they seem to tell us something very similar. If you want to survive out here, shape up. Get in this line. Watch out for those people's muck so none of it gets on you. Work hard at the right thing, and maybe you'll be all right. And it is at this point that Paul looks at us, and Susan, and the Irish, and the Colossians, and he says, "Have you forgotten who you are? God has already planted you in Christ. God is growing you up in Jesus so that you are mature in his love. God is making your faith firm. You don't have to work so hard to resist the powers of the world. God has secured you to himself, and the only thing left for you is to be thankful. Have you forgotten who you are? Everything that God is, everything that it means to be God, lives in Jesus in the flesh. And you are in him. God has given all of himself to you. And you don't have to keep special days and be circumcised and keep the right diet. You don't have to worry about being the people of God and keeping the law. Jesus has already given you himself, and he is in charge. No other gods, no other rulers, no other authorities, and no other laws have power over you. Jesus rules over them, and no one has the power to pull you away from him. All these other things tugging at you, Jesus tells them what to do. You don't have to listen to them. They aren't in charge. Have you forgotten who you are? You are already part of the people of God. God has already circumcised you. He's already cleansed your hearts and taken off all that is dirty and sinful in you. Jesus died to deal with your brokenness. He bore the thrash of the whip, the sting of the nails, of the thorns, and the pounding of the nails. Jesus tore off all of his flesh and died on your behalf. All that is broken inside of you died with him, and he removed everything this world can claim. The powers of this world have no right to you. You have died to them with Jesus, and now you are part of God's family. He's claimed you as his own, and nothing else can rival his claim. Have you forgotten who you are? You're baptized. God has buried the person you used to be with Jesus. God has done away with your sin forever, and he has raised you to new life. He has shown you that he is the kind of God that raises the dead. He has made you alive to his raising the dead power. He's made you alive in the kingdom over all kingdoms. He has connected you to the love of the risen Jesus by faith in baptism. And this last point that Paul makes was very clear to me when several months ago I visited Boston Christian Reformed Church in Grand Rapids. They, just like the church I do in Philly, begin the service by pouring a pitcher of water into the baptismal up front. But this church did something I've never seen before. The pastor calls up several individuals on the anniversary of their baptisms. The pastor looks at each of these individuals. Most of them have many years between them and their baptisms. And he proceeds to dip his hand into the baptismal water and draw a cross on each of their foreheads. He then says to each one, "Remember your baptism. This is who you are, a beloved child of God." Have you forgotten who you are? You are a beloved child of God. And perhaps Father's Day is the best day to remember this. God is your Father. He has claimed you as his child, and he has chosen to love you even when you don't deserve it, and he will never let you go. The great 16th century reformer John Calvin said, "Those who possess Christ have God truly present and enjoy him wholly." In baptism, God has claimed you as his own child and given you everything. He has given you himself as your Father. For some of us, it is easy to remember our baptisms. It happened just recently, and it's fresh in our memories. God has claimed you as his own, and you know it. For others, our baptisms were long ago. We can remember it if we work at it. God has claimed you as his own, and his promises are far more certain than your memories. For others, including myself, we were baptized as children, as infants, as babies. We can't remember, no matter how hard we might try. God has claimed you as his own before you could remember anything else. And then for others, you've not yet been baptized. You've not yet stepped into this reality. But God makes the same offer to you. He has already declared his love for you in the death and resurrection of Jesus, even before you were able to recognize it. So how does God's love change your life? None of the pressures in your life have any power over you. Jesus has conquered all. God has made them his tools to show his love for the world. He uses his families to show his intimate love for us all. He uses our neighborhoods to bring peace and justice to the world. He uses your work to add value and meaning and dignity to everyone's daily lives. He uses this church to put down roots in our town. He shows his plan for the world in schoolwork. He speaks his love to you and to me in scripture and in prayer. So Fairfield Church, each and every day of your life, remember your baptism. This is who you are, a beloved child of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, please pray with me. O Lord our God, you have given to us the glorious gospel of our risen Savior and Master. Grant that as we joyfully receive the good news for ourselves, so we may gratefully share it with others, and ever give glory to you, by whose grace alone we are what we are, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.